I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zada Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Houston Astros signing Yordan Alvarez today to a $115 million deal. 6 years, buying out the 3 years of arbitration, buying out his first 3 years of free agency as well. In our books, 10 out of 10 for Houston Astros general manager James Click. And the Astros will be in Kansas City tonight for the first of a three-game series. Jose Urquidy on the mound for the Astros against the Kansas City Royals. And if you're watching the game on AT&T Sportsnet, you'll be listening to Todd Callis, one of the very best in the business, joining us now on the HR&P guest line. Todd, thanks so much for taking a few minutes. I know you're preparing, getting ready for the game tonight against Kansas City. Seeing the news of Yordan Alvarez signing the extension with the Astros, what were some immediate thoughts that you had?
Yeah, very exciting. Waiting for it to become official from the Astros, but this is a guy who easily could win an MVP or two during the course of that six-year contract. I would assume he's got some sort of incentive if he does make a run at MVP, that he's going to get a little more money. But I love the fact that not only can this guy hit the ball a million miles, but he's got the complete game. He understands the strike zone. He's a better runner than people give him credit for. He's a better left fielder than people give him credit for. And I think he's just going to keep getting better. This, to me, is a great sign. This is a great day for Houston Astros fans.
Todd, is it also a building block for the future to say, now you've got one of the two key names to wrap up for the future of this team and keep them atop of baseball in terms of competing for winning seasons, division titles, and more? And then does it give you hope that Kyle Tucker could be next in line? We saw the word get out a week or so ago that the sides had discussions. They couldn't get a deal done. How do you think this actually affects the Astros and Tucker trying to reach something long-term?
That's a good question. I don't know if Tucker's representatives are thrilled with the contract, but I'm sure, not knowing the negotiations, but I'm sure Tucker's people are looking for a higher annual average value than what Yordan got. So I don't know if that brings Tucker's bargaining power up or down, but certainly Tucker's a better defensive player and a better runner than Yordan, as good as Yordan is and undervalued in those areas, but he's not the power threat that Yordan is. So I think Tucker gets a bigger deal, but whether he was asking for a lot more than that or not, I'm not sure. So maybe this will help and maybe it won't help. I'm not, you know, well, that remains to be seen. But the first part of your question, building around Yordan, absolutely. I mean, just like when, you know, Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman signed extensions, you knew they were going to be around long-term. Now you know you're going to build around a guy like Yordan Alvarez in his mid-20s, just getting better every year. His offensive field ability to hit continues to improve. I imagine that Astros team store is going to have a big run on Yordan Alvarez jerseys today and in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet. Todd Callis joining us on the HR&P guest line the day that the Astros signed Yordan. You know, there's some talk out there, some chatter. I think it's been quieted down now that the Astros' window starting to shrink a little bit, right? Altuve getting older, Bregman older, Yuli older, Verlander older, Springer walking, Cole walking. You know the story. You live it each and every day. You tell the story. But the fact that you have a Yordan in the middle of the order locked up, Tucker, we'll see what happens with him. Jeremy Peña coming up. A lot of youth in the pitching staff as well. Tell us from your perspective, Todd. I just don't see that window closing at all in the foreseeable future for the Astros.
No, it's a good point, and it's hard to maintain this level of excellence for as long as the Astros have. It's basically unprecedented. The A's did it from 71 through 75, making five straight LCSs. No other American League team has done that until the Astros came along and did it presently. So very good shot to get there 6 years in a row and set a new American League mark. And back then, the A's only had to win their division to get to the LCS. So, yes, it's an incredible run. If you look at it from 30,000 feet, you see that this is one of the great runs in the history of baseball. Sometimes when you're immersed in it, you don't really recognize that. But yeah, there's no reason to think that it's going to stop anytime soon because of a Yordan Alvarez, like you mentioned. And hopefully Kyle Tucker follows suit and signs a long-term deal. And then there's Jeremy Peña. You still got the guys Altuve and Bregman for the next few years. And there's a lot of quality pitching, even as Justin Verlander gets into his 40s. There's a lot of quality pitching behind Verlander. Lance McCullers Jr. will be healthy, and we'll see him for the next few years. So this could potentially be one of the great 5 to 6 year runs now turn into an 8 to 10 year run with Yordan being right in the middle of it.
Todd, I'm curious. I love the segments when you guys get into analytics. I love it even more when you guys get into your scorebook and a lot of the things you do to prepare. But I think that the one thing that I don't think the fans realize as part of the preparation is getting to know your partner. And I believe that you and Jeff have become, you know, one of the premier teams for people that watch Major League Baseball on a nightly basis and have the extra innings package and all those things. And it's because of the entertainment value and how important it is, as aside from just what's going on that they see and the numbers that back it up. How long did it take when you guys were brought together? Because I don't believe you guys knew each other, you know, and you were paired up when you came to Houston. And now, how happy are you that, you know, you guys on a nightly basis entertain as much as you do just bring the story?
Well, I appreciate that. It's a very easy broadcast booth to assimilate with, because Julia and Blummer had been there before me. And so I knew Julia because I was kind of doing some other similar things that she does with the Astros. And then Blummer and I had actually met in 2004 when he played for Tampa Bay, and I was in Tampa Bay that year. So yeah, we knew each other a little bit, but we'd never obviously worked together on air or anything. We did do one little mock broadcast during the process of trying to figure out who was going to be the person to replace Bill Brown. And I guess that went well enough. So yeah, it's a very easy booth to work with. Blummer is hilarious. He's got that California laid back personality. He does his thing. Fans love him. Julia is probably as good as anybody in the role she does. I don't, you know, even better than when I was with Tampa Bay. I always thought she was up there at the top, and now working with her on a day-by-day basis, I do feel like she is the best at what she does. So I'm just very lucky, and not only because of the two people I work with, but because of the product on the field. I mean, the fact that this team has done what they've done the last 5 years has given me just unbelievable amounts of highlights to call, and it's been a fun ride so far, and it's continuing on here in 22.
I know Astro fans appreciate the work as well. Todd Callis, voice of the Astros, AT&T Sportsnet, joining us on the HR&P guest line. Todd, you look at this team, and 6.5 games up on the Angels entering play today. Everybody in Houston, as you mentioned, has higher aspirations than that. You start looking at the rest of the American League, and you start wondering, what can you do to position yourself for another run to an ALCS, to see if you can break Oakland's record of 5 straight ALCS appearances, try to get back to another World Series. Last year, we saw James Glick aggressive in July. I know that it's kind of an awkward position being the voice of the team, but what do you think? Do you think that aggression from James Glick will be there again this July?
Yeah, I think it all depends on Jim Crane's direction, too. Jim has a say in things, and obviously James Glick is a facilitator and makes the moves happen, but it'll be important to know that there's room now in the salary cap, where the Astros were pretty much handcuffed the last couple of years. Now there is room if they want to add a piece. What they might look to add, who knows, but I think James is probably going to have the freedom from Jim Crane to do what he wants, but I'm not sure right now where the major upgrades can happen. There's certainly areas you can tweak that could help this team, but I think if there's a piece that is missing come the end of July, then there's no doubt the Astros will make a move, because I think you're right. They look at this as an opportunity to not only win the division, but to get back to another World Series.
TK, we've seen the development of this young pitching staff around a guy that honestly is doing things that I don't know that we've ever seen before in Justin Verlander coming off Tommy John. But we know that the starting rotation is one of the big main strengths of this team as well, and Major League Baseball is taking note. Is Lance McCullers at this point in time someone that has to be there for this team down the stretch, or is he a luxury if he comes back now based on what they already have?
Oh, good question. I would say it's imperative that if you want to have your best guys go into the postseason, that Lance McCullers at his best is part of that equation as one of those four pitchers. Having said that, is it imperative? The way they're going now, no, but you definitely get better when Lance McCullers Jr. is healthy. I go back to the fact that Christian Javier is filling in now with Jake Odorizzi currently on the IL. There's a lot of teams that would have Christian Javier as their two or three guy in the rotation, and he's a guy that the Astros have the luxury of being a six or a seven when Lance is healthy. So it's amazing the depth they have. Hunter Brown sitting in the minor leagues, he probably doesn't have room to join in a rotation where he could probably pitch for a lot of teams at the big league level. So, yeah, starting pitching is depth. There's depth there. So in that, you know, facet, it's kind of a luxury to get Lance back, but it's also somewhat imperative if you're going to enhance your top four, that Lance at his best is part of that equation.
That ETA for Hunter Brown is fascinating, and it's hard to answer because of the surplus of pitching that this team has. And one of the things, too, that is very impressive is not only the quality of arms that you have in the starting rotation, but it's also the fact that everybody's cool with their role. Like Jose, you look at Jose Urquidy, he's factoring in very much for the Astros this season, maybe not pitching as well as he would like, but somebody that's capable. Christian Javier, you mentioned, who he's willing to bounce back from the starting rotation to the bullpen and just be a good teammate. The fact that it seems like that chemistry is there and that they're willing to accept whatever role is being asked of them is pretty impressive as well.
No, these guys know that they're part of something special. And they want to do whatever they can to make themselves and make the team better. So for Javier, if that means bouncing back and forth between the rotation and the bullpen, that's what he's going to do. And all the other guys kind of fall in place that way. But, yeah, it's a great team of a lot of selfless guys. We haven't even touched on the bullpen yet. The bullpen's been the best in baseball and coming off a historic month. This is as good a bullpen as I remember for the Astros since I've been here over the last five and a half years now. So, yeah, and the pitching staff, look, the offense still hasn't gotten going. That's the scary part about the Astros being where they are right now, is the offense still hasn't clicked like I think the offense can, and here they are 6.5 games ahead of the Angels and playing great baseball. The pitching has just been phenomenal.
Todd Callis, what does Kansas City have? I know that you've done the deep dive on the Royals. What's it look like for the Astros this weekend?
Yeah, they're struggling. They've given up a lot of runs. Tonight's guy's pretty good. Brady Singer, number one pick out of University of Florida, who is figuring things out. It looks like he has got a much better handle on things this year. He's pitching well, and he's probably the toughest of the three guys they're going to face this weekend. Not even sure who they're going to pitch tomorrow. It could be a bullpen day. Still trying to figure that out. But the Royals struggle in general, giving up a lot of runs, most in the American League. They have an incredibly talented third baseman, now shortstop, Bobby Witt Jr. He's going to be fun to watch for Astros fans for the first time. They have a couple of other pieces in place that are quality offensive players. But for the most part, they just give up too many runs. And if they end up with the worst record in the American League this year, it wouldn't shock me. They'll be somewhere in the mix for one of those top five draft picks, I would think, at the end of the year. They're still in that growing stage where the Astros were years before their run. And unfortunately for Royals fans, the growing stage is taking a little longer than they thought.
Well, Todd, have a great call. Enjoy Kansas City.
All right. I appreciate it, guys.
You got it. Todd Callis, the play-by-play voice for the Houston Astros on AT&T Sportsnet, joining the Killer Bees. He said Yordan Alvarez wouldn't shock him if he wins an MVP or two in the course of this six-year contract. Could that be true? We'll discuss next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Frankie's Friday Fire. We got a tough leaderboard today, too. We got some work. Got 45 minutes if you still want to get in. But it is a crowded leaderboard at the top. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Every Friday, We play for Frankie's Friday Fire, $50 gift card to Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Also, want to remind you, be like me and take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting Kids Mills. This year's tournament takes place Tuesday, June 14, 10:30 a.m., Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner from E. Fratelli, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. So, Todd Kalas, very good work on AT&T Sportsnet. Mm-hmm. We talked to him about that contract extension for Yordan Alvarez. $115 million, 6 years. It buys out the 3 years of arbitration. It buys out his first three years of free agency as well. Great signing for James Click. Todd Kalas, pretty bold. He said he could win an MVP or two in the course of that contract.
Go to Cody Stutz this year. Cody Stutz said it before the year, and I give him full credit for it because, look, he's going to be a legitimate candidate. He keeps doing what he's doing and staying healthy doing it. And I think that there's no reason to not believe that he won't be in the running when he is competing with Aaron Judge home runs-wise, when he is hitting for average the way he's capable of hitting, when he's doing things leading his team the way he did again the other day in Oakland with that big ninth-inning hit that got them the victory. He just is stacking and racking the type of start to a career and the numbers that lead you to believe there are bigger things like an MVP in his future.
I think he's one of the best hitters in baseball. So
I don't think you're wrong.
So just let me say that right out of the gate. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he could win an MVP this year. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility he can win an MVP or two in the life of that six-year contract. Big C, though, on Twitch, I think he brings up a really good point. I think he needs to do more than DH to win it. I don't think he should do anything else but DH, though. And that's kind of my stance as well. We live in this new modern day and age of baseball where a lot of these voters are basically looking at the war leaders and voting for whoever's leading the war category. And because Yordan Alvarez, he does play left field better than average, better than people think. I agree. He is a better base runner than people think whenever he's not admiring his Yordans. But because he doesn't play defense a ton, only every other day, because I don't think he should play defense at all, he's not racking up those war points, right? And because of this new modern day of baseball and these voters are like new school and look at the analytics, I think that plays against Yordan Alvarez.
Here's the thing, though, Jeremy. You also have the old school voters that still have a vote somehow, some way, and are still looking at the criteria differently, too, and trying to think about the fact that you have to play the field as well as just instead of just being a hitter. Before you can get their votes, too. So you're constantly politically battling both sides. You're battling the new generation, which is all, deeply driven into sports, statistics and analytics like you're talking about. You also get the old school guys that are going to nitpick the fact that whether he's not playing the field is a big deal or not to us. It can be a big deal to them because they're looking for the full player, the full complete player in what he does. Others should just say, hey, you know what? It's how he affects his team. He's the most valuable player in the league because he has made the biggest difference from one individual standpoint as it relates to a team. That's where he gains points. But I think that he definitely will be criticized and it will hurt him that he does not play the field as much as a lot of the other players that'll be up for it. But I think that at the end of the day, if he keeps statistically putting up the numbers he's putting up, you can't turn the other cheek and say, this guy isn't worthy of winning the award, whether he plays defense or not.
Yeah, his offense just might play. It just might play enough to where he's going to win an MVP. But this is where I'm not even looking at individual accolades. Like, again, if I'm running the Astros, I don't care if Yordan
exactly.
wins an MVP.
It's icing on the cake if he wins an MVP. It's most important he's healthy and doing what he's doing for this team night in, night out.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I thought he was interesting when Todd said that he believed Tucker's going to ask for more average annual value than Yordan. This is pretty much the same conversation because the only way in the world that Kyle Tucker would ever ask for more or get more money annually than Yordan Alvarez is because of the two-way conversation.
We just talked about it a couple segments prior, and so it made perfect sense that it fit right into what Todd was saying because of the fact that if you're Kyle Tucker's agent, you're doing a disservice if you don't bring that up, push that forward, and say, not only is it because my contract's still not done and you always want to have, even if it's a dollar more from an agent's perspective than the last guy that signed a deal, especially when you're comparing apples to apples in terms of the two guys look to carry this team. But then, of course, you're going to want more because he does more than Yordan. If you're willing to give Yordan this, and I'm Kyle Tucker's agent, I go, Yeah, so if you were willing to pay that much for a guy that doesn't play defense, how about a guy that not only plays defense, he's been rewarded for it, you know, and you look at the analytical numbers in terms of runs saved and all the other things that he does with assists in the outfield and say, he probably should get more than that.
Yeah, see, it's the whole second conversation that, like, if it's me specifically from an Astros perspective, I think I'm paying Yordan Alvarez more money than Kyle Tucker. Even with Yordan Alvarez, I don't want him to play defense. But because I know how good of an offensive player that he is, I'd be willing to spend a little bit more money on Yordan than I am Tucker. That said, if Tucker signs a $115 million six-year extension today as well, I'm going to be all on board for that. I thought it was interesting, too, talking about the trade deadline. Because, look, I think it's unprofessional to ask Todd, like, do you think
that
you
won't answer?
Yeah, it's unprofessional.
Yeah, like, you can't do that because you're going to face scrutiny no matter what you say. And having been a guy that's had the guys that work for the team, you realize there's a no-win proposition that can only get you in trouble if you address it too specifically.
Yeah, like, we've talked a lot about Yuli Gurriel. I've been very critical of Yuli Gurriel. I'm not going to ask Todd Kalas, the play-by-play voice of the Astros, who's employed by the Astros, should the Astros get rid of Yuli Gurriel. But the fact that he talked about how the trade deadline, he expects Click to be active, but he also took it the other direction where how active will Jim Crane be willing to be? Because remember last year, the Astros payroll was right at the cusp of the competitive balance tax. I thought it was very interesting that Todd called it the salary cap. That was very interesting that he used those words, salary cap, as opposed to the luxury tax or the competitive balance tax. But the Astros had that leeway this year. Because remember last year, Click was trading a lot of major league players for other major league players. It actually reduced salary, if I remember correctly, to make sure that he was underneath the luxury tax. Jim Crane's always going to want to be under the luxury tax. He's willing to go
every
up
owner,
to it.
Every owner, for the most part, besides maybe the Dodgers, think that way.
If Jim Crane's at the competitive balance tax, but like $2 to $3 million under it every single year, I could not be happier. I will take that every single season. But the Astros have some of that money to spend under the luxury tax, salary tax, or salary cap, competitive balance tax, whatever you want to call it, to where it is going to be fascinating to see if Click's going
to
be.
You mentioned the collective bargaining agreement too,
looking for because salary.
Did you not? Because the new collective bargaining agreement gave you more money on top of everything else.
Yeah.
So you definitely, that's why we've been harping on it. There's so much more money to play with, and the fact that you don't have to worry as much about, you know, a Correa 10-year deal, $300-some million looming, that it should be interesting, but that's why I'm so focused on making sure that Click does something to try and better this team.
4683, I wish Yordan would switch to first base, save his knees wear and tear. If you are married to the idea of Yordan needing to play defense over the life of this 6-year contract, I would rather him play first base than play left field. But I'd rather him DH than play first base. But if he's forced to play one defensive position, I would love the fact if Yordan would transition to a first baseman, especially considering the fact you don't have a first baseman under contract next year. Yuli Gurriel is a free agent after this season, and I'm trying to find a way to get rid of him before the July 31st trade deadline.
Yes, you are. I think that that's the biggest bonus you have because you don't have a veteran player that has multiple years left, which really becomes just dead money for you because you're either forced to keep him and you have to throw him out there because you're trying to get something, anything back for return on investment. But because of the fact that it's a clean break at the end of the year, it would be it's going to be interesting to me to see if they try and create a role for him, if he wants to stick within the organization. Does he want to, like I said and mentioned previously, want to try and play a year or two with his brother? Would Toronto take him as their utility bench player just so the brothers could play together? I'm curious as to how it all plays out. It's a good thing if you're the Astros, knowing that you are not on the hook for multiple years at a big contract dollar figure to keep him around.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. So Jose Urquidy, he hasn't been pitching all that well. He's been serviceable. 4.80 ERA, though, not great. We need to get him going. And remember Jose, or Jake Overeasy, rather, he was struggling. He was pitching pretty bad. And Brendan gave him Eminem Stan as his theme song, his walk-up song. And it changed his career, if we're being completely honest with you. It totally changed the career of Jake Overeasy. We need to do that with Jose Urquidy next. How can we change Jose Urquidy's 2022 season? How can we change Jose Urquidy's career? With the right theme song, with the right walk-up song.
Remember now, since the Love Roller Coaster was provided for Fromber, he's been on fire.
He has been on fire, Fromber Valdez has. He's looking like a Cy Young. So help us out. We need to figure out a song for Jose Urquidy to get him going. 713-780-ESPN. It is also a Frankie's Friday Fire. 713-780-3776. We'll kick that around when we return. It's a Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right. Jose Urquidy has been struggling a little bit. 4-2 record. He's about 500. But you know,
how do you feel about the first suggestion to this?
I haven't seen it.
Someone texted in Tub Thumpers.
What?
I get knocked down, but I get up again. I mean, it's kind of fitting.
Well, you know me. I'm going to play to... Look, Jose Urquidy's Mexican.
I knew you were going to do that.
I'm half Mexican, so I love playing into the Mexican vibes. I believe Jose Urquidy's walk-up songs, Vicente Fernandez.
Vicente Fernandez.
What is it? Llorar y llorar.
How does he have a walk-up song that doesn't hit?
You know what it is. It's his little song that they play as he's warming up in the first inning. Don't be difficult. Don't be a stoozer.
I'm just asking a question.
Being difficult. He's a walk-up song to the mound, and they play it for his first few warm-up hits.
I didn't realize that they do that for starting pitchers. As they walk out to the mound and warm up, they play their essentially version of a walk-up song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They have it for managers, too, whenever they walk out to hand the lineup card to the umpires. I'm dead serious.
I understand Dusty has wristbands and all these other things.
It's not
things.
Always Dusty. And it's not always Major League Baseball.
Okay.
I'm telling you, that's a fact. I'm not making that up.
Okay.
It's true.
All right. I'm not going to believe you, but go ahead.
You don't believe that?
No, I don't believe that.
It's 100%
fact. They don't know who's walking out the lineup card every day.
It doesn't always have to be the bigs.
Oh, so you're just going to college baseball.
And sometimes they do it for the other coach,
too. This is the difference between you and the guy that does the AAA version of the Nationals.
What?
He would never do such a thing to fallacize or create some kind of fiction about the ridiculousness of walk-up songs for people with the lineup card.
It's baseball. This baseball pitcher just faked a pick off to third base. That's a balk. This is an underrated sports weekend,
by
the way. That was
a bad nighttime talk show host laugh.
This is an underrated sports weekend. College baseball regional started.
God, you're so entrenched in it, it's hard to get you to focus on the show. You're worried about UConn baseball.
Aggies right now. That squeeze play channel. Aggies up 2-1, bottom of the fourth. Runners on the corners. One.
No out. One cares.
Anyways, there's some Aggies. We're the home of
if
the Aggies.
If your Cougs were in it, I get it.
Okay, fair enough. So we're trying to come up with a song for Jose Urquidy. B-Mag just played the I Get Up Again, But I Fall Down. Oh, Donnie Boy. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to say no on
what,
that
did
one.
Did just combine like three songs there? I think B-Mag should pick it because Brendan picked the first one and he had success picking it for a guy that was basically... in most people's cases, mine's done, and he resurrected Jake Odorizzi. So because he's out and B-Mac's in, I think a lot of pressure goes on B-Mac to at least make a suggestion.
B-Mac, do you have a suggestion?
Well, Urquidy gives up a lot of hits, so how about a throwback to the 90s, Hit Me Baby One More Time?
I don't like that because it's almost asking for him to get
what are we doing
pounded
here?
In the hit column.
I Get Up Again, Hit Me Baby One More Time. Like, this is the perfect chance to use Vicente Fernandez in one of the songs for one of the greatest Mexican singers of all time for the Mexican pitcher on the Houston Astros.
I had initially thought if we were going with the vibe we were going until he went and tried to play it back to the ethnic side of things. I was trying to push the fact that since he had two shoulder issues last year, that you could have gone back to the 90s and gone with Broken Wings. To take these broken wings to try and fly again.
That's not bad. That's pretty good. Brandon T says La Bamba. That was my walk-up song in high school.
Oh, my God.
It was. That was my walk-up song in high school.
Please tell us more about your high school career, Jeremy.
It wasn't good. I was a career 400 hitter, though. I was 2-for-5. Somebody, 6545, texted in, said, Tragos Armagos by Ramon Ayala.
I'm sure you know that one.
I don't know that one. Could you find that one for us, BMAC, potentially? Tragos Armagos. I'll text you the how to spell it.
You got to spell it, because there's no way he's getting it from what you just said.
You don't know how to spell Tragos Armagos by Ramon Ayala? Yes, I do. I'm just looking at it.
Well, you're looking at it because someone sent it to you.
I'm looking at it. Of course I know what it is. Jose Urquidy warm-up song is El Corrido de Mazatlán. That's where he's from. Oh, that's right. I did know that one. But I want to play a little Vicente Fernandez. At least put that on the table for B-Mac. Somebody else said might as well be I'm a Loser Baby.
That's not nice.
That's not very nice for Jose Urquidy, who has pitched in some big games for the Astros and has been successful in some big games for the Astros. Come on, man. What are we doing here? 4683 saying, remember me.
Pat Benatar, hit me with your best shot.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Somebody else saying, y'all killing me. I don't know if that's a good thing or if that's a bad thing. 713, did you find it yet, BMAC? 713-780-ESPN.
Efforting.
713-780-3776. Some people on Twitch are weighing in on theirs as well. Salga says, PSA, Jeremy does not reflect the views of all Mexicans. Please do not judge all of us based on Jeremy. That's fine. I'm only half Mexican, so sometimes the half white boy stands up.
Good Lord.
Dr. Dre says, white boy Jeremy, never heard of Dragos and Mongols. I probably have heard of it. I've probably heard the song, but I'm not familiar with the name. I'm not very good with names of songs. We've all learned that so far in the history of the show.
A little bit. That's all I'm going to say.
I remember songs when I hear them. I'm not great at just naming the song. And be, oh, yeah, that's that song. This is who sang it. That's the name of it. I'm just not good at that. I'm a one-trick pony. Some people would say that one trick's not even a very good trick. That sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good. You know what I want now? I want a margarita and modelo. Outside, listening to some mariachis tonight. There, I'm done. The dinner plans have been made just by the first lyric of that.
Well, you don't
lyric.
Have any baseball to worry about, so you can actually get out there early.
That was not nice.
Beat the crowd.
Not nice.
And you can just watch the rest of it on your phone.
That was not a nice thing to say.
I'm just being honest.
What do you think?
No.
Why do you hate Mexicans?
I don't hate. You're right, because I married one. You're right.
Why do you hate us?
We already. I need something more fitting of the moment. You already got what you wanted in terms of the theme that you went with the pitcher that you selected.
Luis Garcia?
Yes.
Bailaste Cumbia?
I don't know why the heck you keep playing the bat on this, too.
I feel like I'm part of a mariachi.
Oh, this
right
ought to be really mariachi good, by Branham. The way. You want to go the exact opposite of the way you're going? Troy wants to make a suggestion.
There's some similarities there.
Troy, what do you have in mind for a walk-up song for Jose Urquidy?
I think it was the Scorpions that best rocked me like a hurricane.
I didn't expect him to say that.
I didn't either, but I knew he wasn't going to say that he wasn't going to lean the way you were leaning. Troy, you ever heard this song before?
This is good.
You dropped out.
Oh,
thanks for listening, Troy. Thanks for hanging on.
Troy's awesome.
He is, and we're giving him a hard time. Suave saying Wild Thing song from the movie Major League. You have to kind of be like a rocker, I think, to have that song. And no. That's a terrible song for Jose Urquidy. Jose Urquidy gets rocked because he leaves pitches right over the middle of the plate. Jose Urquidy's command, at least in the zone, is very good. He throws strikes. So you can't have Wild Thing for Jose Urquidy.
So he should stay out of the high. Are you saying that he should stay lower in the zone?
I'm saying he should probably nibble a little bit more than he does.
Okay.
What is this?
It's a Scorps. Rock Me Like a Hurricane.
Oh, this was Troy's idea?
Yeah.
Pick a Santana song, for instance, Smooth.
Smooth Operator. It was him. That was Santana and Rob Thomas.
Smooth Operator by Santana and
Smooth. I think it might be just titled Smooth, but it was Rob Thomas and Santana.
Wes is saying don't call it a comeback, LL Cool J.
Let's hope.
That doesn't really give me Urquidy vibes, though. You know what I mean?
He has to constantly come back from injury, and now he's got to come back from struggles.
Come on. He did that. He was on the aisle twice. He's on the aisle twice. Conquest by the White Stripes.
Two more than he should have. There you go. Smooth.
Seems like a happy compromise.
I'm not opposed to it.
Somebody said danger zone. Urquidy's always living in the danger zone.
It's not bad.
BMAC ultimately is the one picking this out. So or do you want to stand on the table for a certain song? I'm standing on the table for Vicente Fernandez.
I'm going to let BMAC be the judge.
What's your pick, Joel? If you had to make a pick.
Listen to that.
I think right now I would go with Santana and Rob Thomas.
I think we're going with Santana and Rob Thomas.
Okay. I feel like that was a happy compromise. Yeah. I do, too. I actually feel like that was a happy compromise. So unless the next caller that wants... So this is Jose Urquidy's song now. So we have Urquidy with Smooth, which...
Because he's never going to overpower you.
And he's kind of been rocky.
Oh, here you go again. Now you want to go right down the negative boulevard that everybody else was trying to take you.
But his personality is kind of smooth, right? It's like chill,
that's what I said.
Low-key.
And he's not going to overpower you. So might as well go with something that if he's smooth and sailing through, he's good.
I have a good feeling about this.
Oh, Brad Kellner has chimed in. Not the fake Brad Kellner.
The real Brad
Kellner has texted in, Dirt Off Your Shoulders by Jay-Z, because his shoulders always hurt.
He's just trying to brag that he's cool and knows who Jay-Z is.
I know who Timmy Wee is, too, and I know the song very well. I don't know. I thought it was like to get the haters off of him, and he had to go take it to the fact that his shoulder's never right.
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Cecil, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. What's up, Cecil?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? I just wanted to chime in on the Urquidy walkout song. My choice would be Desperito because we are pretty desperate for a win when he goes to the mound. And typically when we win, we're desperate. And at, by the end of it, hey, he's a desperado.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's a good idea.
Cecil, that's not bad at all.
I'm going to yeah butt you and say he's 4-2 on the year. But thank you, Cecil.
Now, I wonder, did he say his name was something different before this, B-Mac, or did you hear it wrong?
I heard it wrong.
No, it wasn't Cecil?
Oh,
no, I
would like to tell you what he put up there instead of Cecil, and it goes along your line.
Oh, I didn't see it?
Yes.
Somebody said Gasolina, but he doesn't really throw gas. I mean, mid-90s sometimes.
But he can light a fire. I'm just telling you.
What's this one?
Desperito.
All right, so this is B-Mac. I mean, you got Smooth, Desperito. I don't think Gasolina's involved. Pretty good.
Yeah, I think I'm going Smooth.
I don't think you could do wrong with those two. I like both of
these. I think we did all right in short notice to try and come up with something to try and salvage Jose Urquidy tonight.
9229 says, I would go Turn the Page because that's what y'all need to do.
Okay, well, thanks for listening.
You know what? 9229, when Jose Urquidy, his next three starts, when he has a sub-3.5 ERA, and he's 3-0 in his next three starts, and he's dominating,
the same way people clamor now to hear the songs for the other guys and have us send the tweets that we do to back them up to, you'll get on board.
Yeah, I think 9229, you're going to be texting back in a month from now when Jose Urquidy's rolling and dominating. You're going to thank us for the work that we do and how we turned around not only the season of Jose Urquidy, but the career of Jose Urquidy.
Thank us and Rob Thomas and Santana.
Yeah, thank you to all of them.
They're all going to contribute.
And thank you to you, B-Mac, for contributing to the Killer Bees and to the Houston Astros' success in 2022.
You're welcome.
All right. 713-780-ESPN.
It should not go unnoticed that we do owe B-Mac a big thanks, too, filling in for Brendan all week, too, and really stepping up for us, and we appreciate it.
Do we want to pick a Frankie's Italian Kitchen winner, Frankie's Friday Fire here?
We need to.
All right, what do you got?
Boy, way to put me on the spot real quick. I didn't red flag any off the... Which way are you thinking?
I have no idea.
Have you seen anything on Twitch that you liked?
Absolutely not.
That's what I thought. That's why I stayed away from it. So now we're down to either text or Twitter.
Do you think Todd Callis would be interested in Frankie's Italian
Kitchen?
That's
not nice.
What's that? What do you mean that's not nice?
I mean...
I'm giving a gift card to the guest.
It's not nice to, instead of giving it to our listeners, give it to a guy that could get there and do that and probably has plenty of other people trying to help him out.
I did like the one from 8437 because it kind of echoed something that I said. It said, can't believe they were able to lock him up for that much, talking about Yordan, but I do not want to see him playing the field anymore. Strictly a DH from now on after this. Do whatever you can to make sure you maximize the most out of this. So that was something that I was a big fan of because... Basically, he was parroting what I said, so I'm always a big fan of that.
Okay. Anthony, I did like the fact that Anthony tried. Anthony came back after the other day when he said that he had been incarcerated, and he came back and that he had crossed paths, remember when he was telling the story about how, were you wearing a Nautica sweater when I robbed you?
Oh, yeah. So now, but I mean.
Yeah, we can't give it to him, but I want to give him honorable mention because that was honorable to try and
get it for a second day. We're not giving out participation trophies here. We'll figure it out during the break. 713-780-ESPN. Mystery guest, one of the Wheelhousemen. We know that. He'll be joining us next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5.
It's not BK, he's obviously in the car driving and texting.
That's a good point. Oh, it is BK. Hope he's here. Are the Warriors in trouble? That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.